You feel its edges in your mind before they even reach your fingers. There's a tremor inside it. Dare you open it? Too late. You already have. Welcome to Haunted MTL's Combo Box with Jay and Brannick.
Welcome to the Combo Box. Today is the day we say F you to the British and then buy a crap ton of fireworks to celebrate. Today is also the day we sit down as a family to enjoy the musical stylings of Neil Diamond. Joining us today is Twitter King and author of The Dead Life, David Davis. Hi and welcome.
Hey, JM. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Which Neil Diamond song did you and your family celebrate for this holiday?
My grandparents are actually pretty conservative Christians, so I don't think they would know very many Neil Diamond songs at all.
I'll just put you down for Sweet Caroline.
You know, that sounds perfect. I'm down for that.
Ours, of course, is the poetic and deeply moving Heartlight from the E.T. soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Well, I am deep in the thick of night celebrations. You are kind of just beginning right now, right?
Yeah, it's starting to get dark out here. I mean, we've had fireworks since yesterday popping off periodically, but it's going to go hard tonight.
So if you hear, listeners, if you hear anything, it's not gunshots, it's fireworks. Actually, this kind of ties a little bit into what we're going to be talking with today, because when I was just a little baby box, I remember being extremely terrified by fireworks. And our theme tonight is five childhood fears of ordinary, odd, or not so scary things. This was a little bit hard for me to narrow down. I needed help because I was scared of everything as a child. Was it easy for you?
I had trouble grasping it at first because I was like, the stuff that's on my list currently doesn't really scare me now. It was stuff that, like, as a kid, I had certain reactions to, but like now I'm just kind of like blasé about it. So I don't really consider it stuff that I was scared of. I think I was just going through a phase, but I was able to come up with five of them.
Yeah, there's stuff on my thing that I'm still not, I mean, that still don't creep me out. I guess some do creep me out as I'm looking at this, but for the most part, no. But that would be a good concept, too, to do in the future.
Yeah, because the stuff that scares me now is far more, like, existential terror than, like, anything that would have scared me as a kid. Like, now just the thought of my mortality, like, keeps me up at night. Whereas a kid, you know, it's just like, eh, whatever. I'm young.
I'm afraid of spiders now.
Or were you afraid of spiders back then, too?
No.
Oh, boy, that's a fun one.
So that changed. Actually, about bugs crawling on me, because now they crawl on me constantly. And
do you live
in
a dump or something?
No, I just live in a place where I guess a lot of spider friends want to come and hang out with me, and I'm not cool
with
that.
Oh, so Australia.
No, they're not going to kill me.
Okay, that's good.
They just want to hang out and... supposedly, I'm supposed to be very friendly with them, and I try to just blow them away, and just it doesn't always work. So
yeah, I'm definitely a catch and release sort of person when it comes to spiders.
I try, man. You know, and I just read a report where it's like, oh, indoor spiders are your friends, and they're the best. Kind of like bees. I hate bees too, but you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't like give a ride to a bee, but you know, like, I'm like, hey bud, thanks for saving the planet, but they also kind of terrify me.
Yeah, bees are kind of crazy. I love them. I love honey. I think we should like save the bees, but also like, don't be near me.
Also, yeah. If you come at my jugular, I could probably die. So
oh, there you go.
Don't do that. Like, it's one of those things, like, you would die, I would die. We both wouldn't like this.
It would be bad for both of us, so let's just, you know, maintain
a
safe...
I wish we could do-little this, and I could talk to you.
So you've been social distancing since before, you know, the pandemic, I guess.
Yes, everything. A good sum of my life. So, since you're the guest, do you want to start us off with your number five?
Sure. So I didn't really have any sort of ordered list, which probably makes me a terrible guest.
You're a terrible guest.
Yeah, I figured as
You're
much.
Off the show. Off the show. No Neil Diamond song. That was fine.
Okay, play me off. All right.
All right.
Okay. So I'll just kind of go with at the top of my list, which was closets.
Okay.
So yeah, I when I was a kid, I actually had some anxiety around closets because, you know, it's another little tiny room inside your room. And, and you don't know what's behind doors. You know, so, I lived in a few places that were kind of creaky. Sounds in the house would alarm me. I have a ghost story that I'll have to tell sometime. I at one point I was living in an apartment complex and we actually had some rats that were in the walls and I could hear them scratching around in the closet. They weren't actually in the closet. They were in the walls in the closet, but it mm-hmm. sounded like there was something in the closet. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You're 7, 8 years old. That shit's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you know that it's like, oh, this is an animal, that's an animal that could come out of the closet at any time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, just shut the closet. Just keep the door closed, you know? Just, and then, Lord forbid, I wake up and I see the closet is, like, slightly open after I shut it. You know, that's what really gets to you, because it's like, no, I'm the only one in here. Why did that open?
And then you go, you shut it, and then you turn mm-hmm. around, and there's a rat in your bed.
Yeah, Remy.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, so, I mean, closet, you know, when you had originally pitched this episode to me, I thought about, like, because the way you had pitched it to me, it's kind of like innocuous things that, like, that don't necessarily make sense, but they kind of do with, like, that child logic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, closets kind of, you know, and I guess it's also because, like, pop culture-wise, you know, closets end up being portals to places a lot of the time.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, just that idea of, like, you never know what's going to happen in a closet, because I've seen so many movies where closets are portals, so.
Yeah, I remember a Beyond Belief episode going back to the day, and, like, there was an episode where a kid went into a closet and never came out, and it was true. And, you know, when you're smaller and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I sleep with my closets closed even today then.
I don't even pay attention to my closets. I just fill them with things and then I kind of forget about what's in there.
Well, at this point, I'm living in a studio apartment, so I have one of those, like, sliding closets.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's not even enough room for my cat in there. So I'm like, okay, I'm pretty safe here. I literally have, like, two doors in my apartment, the refrigerator door and the bathroom door. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm safe.
You're safe from doors. Never watch Boogeyman if you're afraid of doors and closets.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, my number 5 is smooth jazz.
Oh, firework. Firework.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me that because I would have thought farts. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. No, I tend to keep that tight when I'm podcasting, so, yeah.
Well, you could just blame it on the ghosts. Oh, that was
exactly.
Closet ghost. Yeah, so smooth jazz, as a kid, used to scare me a bit because this was when I first got a radio and I could play the radio and stuff like that. And the smooth jazz channel, I guess, only came on during a certain point of the night, like 9 o'clock or something, just before I was about to go to bed. And my parents never listened to smooth jazz. My grandparents never listened. Nobody. I didn't grow up in it. Mm-hmm. And the music, there's not really like a linear path. You know, with pop, it's like doop, 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 A, B, C, we're done.
Yeah, it's very improvised.
It's very improvised. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of notes going on. And it just weirded me out because it was like, something's not right with this. And like I said, it only happened during like a certain time of night.
Yeah, just and all only of a sudden at night. Yeah, there's just this discordant, haunting melody that, like, is reality unwinding in my bedroom? What's going on here?
Right, on a radio station, mm-hmm. you know, where you're, like, disconnected, you can't see anybody, and it's just smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, who is that voice? Is this reality? I like smooth jazz now, mm-hmm. ever so often. It's relaxing. In fact, it's funny because somebody was playing it today, and as I was working in the garden, I'm like, you know, this is very pleasant, but also kind of ironic. When, see, young kids don't know. when you had a radio, and maybe kids out in the country now, I don't know. When you have a radio and you're just going through the stations and you find a station that you never heard before or was just kind of weird in a way, it was kind of exciting or scary or whatever. I remember there was a Are You Afraid of the Dark that was about that, like a radio station that they found. And so it's like a new discovery, the unknown.
And it's especially true with like AM radio.
Yeah. Because
that's the wild west of radio.
Yes. Yes, it is. But for me, that was smooth jazz. Mm-hmm. And it scared me as a child.
Yeah, because I used to listen to, I somehow, I don't know how I got it, but I got like Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah.
And me being the little paranoid, like, wannabe Fox Mulder I was as a child, it was like, ooh, aliens, and weird stuff. And then it's like, no wonder I am the way I am right now.
Yeah, I remember when I used to work security, like one of the housekeepers would blare that. So I was like, what the hell is this show?
I totally get where you're coming from with the radio thing, though. Like, it, like, technology is very strange until you get used to it. Then as a child, I imagine, like, the radio is just this weird magical thing. Yeah, so I get where you're going with that.
And especially as a child, you listen to the music that your parents listen to, or, you know, in my case, to what my grandparents listened to, because they also helped raise me. So when you're a kid, you listen to what's around you. You don't stray from that. And when you do, you find something different. And, you know, I was just terrified of everything. So, so what is your number four?
So my number four would be The Space Under the Bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a reason why I, like, try to put stuff under my bed to, like, this day. I actually got triggered the other day because I'm rewatching Hannibal. And there was an episode where there is someone underneath someone's bed. And I just, like, it triggered me because I'm just like, oh, God, it just opened up a whole bunch of stuff that I had put away for a while. But, yeah, just, like, that idea of just that kind of, like, space under the bed. You don't know where things are coming from. Do they come foot? Do they come from the side? Do they come up through the bed? You know, and then if you have an old mattress that kind of squeaks in weird ways because of, like, the stress, it sounds like there's stuff, like, digging around in there. And it just, yeah, it's very, just that space under the bed. And I think that's, like, a common fear for a lot of kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. To be honest, TBH, for the kids at home, I don't have a bed thing that goes up. Like, my bed's, like, on the floor.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have a bed spring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have a bed frame. I'm like, nope, just put that sucker on the floor.
Yeah, what I tend to do is I tend to have, like, a large flat case, and I put, like, coats for the winter in there. And then, like, I shove that under the bed. And that kind of, like, I'm reduces not
gonna even,
the amount of space.
I'm not going to even try that. Nope. No.
You know, maybe there's somebody sewn into your mattress. Did you ever think about that?
I just bought it, so maybe.
Did you go to that shady mattress place?
I did. Across town.
Yeah, oh, no.
Freddy's something. Freddy's
right next to the funeral home? Yeah. Oh, no.
No, I completely, utterly understand this because I remember going through two phases of this. I remember at one point I thought Chucky was under my bed for a really long time. I was like, oh, Chucky. It's Chucky. And then for a really long time, I thought it was Freddy Krueger under my bed. And I remember having these very vivid fantasies of Freddy Krueger with his claw, you know, like hand claw thing, like bursting through the bed through my chest.
Oh, know? Wow.
Yeah. As a kid, and I didn't like that. So eventually, because I was spoiled, I talked my parents into getting me a bunk bed, which you think would be worse because that's like double under the space. But I had a dog that she would come in and do her due diligence of staying there until I fell asleep.
Aww.
So that was her job. And that's how my dad would put it. He'd be like, Sparky, it's time to go do your job.
Aw, that's adorable.
Yeah. And she'd waddle in there and then she'd sigh and sit on the second bunk bed. And so she saved me from both Chucky and Freddy.
Aw, what a good dog.
Yeah. She was great. Super great. I still can't watch Frank and Weenie because that dog's
Named
Sparky. But was there any, like, specific, like, monster or anything like that that you would imagine coming from under the bed?
I never really had a, I don't think I really ever had, like, a specific thing in mind. I think I may have had, like, the Freddy Krueger nightmare periodically, mostly because, like, I had been watching horror movies at a very young age. So, like, you know, I saw the original Nightmare on Elm Street with Johnny Depp getting pulled into the bed and all that.
Yeah.
So all that stuff was very clear in my mind young. But no, I can't. It's more just the fact that, like, I don't know what's underneath my bed at any given time. That's, I think, what got to me, because it could be anything.
Yeah. Also, there's that horror story too that I forget. It's been in a bunch of books too, where it's like the woman, she's at home, she's got the dog. She hears a noise, she puts her hand down by the bed, the dog's under the bed, licks her hand, and so she knows everything's okay.
Oh God, I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight. Oh no.
You've never heard of this one?
No, I haven't, but that sounds terrifying. Oh my God.
Yeah, and the punchline is eventually she puts her hand down, because there's an escaped maniac or whatever, you know?
Oh, okay.
And puts her hand down. She feels it lick her hand. Oh, everything's fine. And then she looks and she sees her dog at the other end of the room.
Uh-huh.
So, killer's under her bed.
And he just licked her hand, which is really inappropriate. Which is,
real gross.
Yeah.
Real gross. You know?
God.
There's boundaries you do not cross.
Exactly. And hand licking a complete stranger is where I draw that line, especially in the times of COVID-19.
Exactly. You know, he's gonna, you know what? No, he got what's coming to him.
Exactly.
But yeah, I remember that story too, and being like, ugh.
Yeah, that's first I've heard of that one, but that one, oh boy.
All right, so my number four is glow-in-the-dark stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
which is funny because I like it now. It's fun, you know, it's a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, I'm going to date myself, I guess. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, glow-in-the-dark stuff was super popular.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came out. Everybody liked it. Everybody wanted it. They put it on everything. Everything. I just remember the first time that I had it was, I was really into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, of course, because TMNT is great.
Because they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have had a crush on Raphael.
Oh, the bad boy.
Well, from the cartoon. And then I saw the movie and then I was like, what? And then I'm like, maybe Donatello's the way to go.
Donnie was always my favorite turtle.
He is as an adult now. I'm like, okay, he and I could probably get along. But I guess being angry all the time just doesn't work well as a kid's cartoon character. So I watched the movie. I loved the movie. So my parents got me the poster. Put it up. It's like the turtles like kind of peeking out under the sewer.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun poster.
Oh, yeah.
But their eyes are glow in the dark.
Oh, shit.
And we didn't know that.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, nighttime comes and I wake up and I see these eyes.
Oh, no.
Just glowing in the dark.
I'm just picturing it. Like, you get the poster up, you're going to bed, little jams going to bed, light goes off. All of a sudden, there's these glowing eyes there and just screaming. Ah!
Basically. Basically. Oh, no. And then so I was torn. I'm like, because my parents, of course, trying to be logical, reasonable, you know, we can take it down. And I'm like, no, you can't take it down. And they're like, well, what do you want us to do? And I'm like, I don't know. So I had to live with the fear of it. I just hated it at night. Like my mom would have to like put something up over it sometimes to hide it. But I wasn't going to let them take it down, because that was really a cool poster. And then I remember later on, somebody gave me glow-in-the-dark stars that we put up in my room. And again, like, need glasses. I'm one of those people that I am blind without glasses. So when you wake up in the middle of the night and there's just this weird glowing things around you, and you don't know what it is, and you're a child, and you just scream for your parents because you don't know what's happening. You don't know if it's aliens or what. So I was never really a big fan of glow in the dark. It was just a little bit too apparently extreme for me.
Yeah, I had those little like glow in the dark stars. You know, I'd put them on the wall and stuff, but the glow in the dark stuff never really like got to me unless we were talking about like the deep sea, like yeah. below the Mariana Trench, where it's these bioluminescent fish. That's freaky to me. That's where like, oh no, I agree with you there on the glow in the dark stuff.
It's cool. It's super
cool.
Yeah,
no, I absolutely love it, and that's probably. Like, the fact that it, like, makes me so uneasy is probably why I love it, because it takes a lot to make me uneasy these days. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, if a movie, like, actually succeeds in scaring me, then I absolutely fall in love with that movie, because a lot of movies, it's just, they don't scare me.
Yeah, it's a lot of regurgitation.
Yeah. You know, you understand how they're made, so, like, the magic kind of disappears there.
Yeah, and I jump at every jump scare anyway, so... When I see a bunch of jump scares, I'm like, it's more taxing to me.
Yeah, like, I don't think jump scares count as, like, true scares.
No, I don't think so either.
They're a trick at editing, yeah, and sound editing and that sort of thing, because it's literally just, like, if I were to jump out around a corner and, like, throw my hands in your face and scream at you, you're going to get startled, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, honestly, spouse will just walk up to me and be like, hey, and I won't even hear them, and I will literally scream.
Yeah, my wife moves around the apartment like a cat sometimes, and she'll just, like, be there and ask me a question. And I have tunnel vision, so, like, when I'm working on something, she goes, hey, and I'm like, ah!
Right. I'm just a jumpy person. Just like when I open up, I guess this could be for the next podcast, but whenever I open up those damn biscuits, biscuits.
My mom would make me open those for her.
Oh, fucking biscuits. Every time.
Yep.
I put the goddamn spoon in and I'm spooning it a little bit. I'm like, come on, just pop, motherfucker.
It's the anticipation. The same thing with like a Jack in the Box. Like, you know the melody, you slow down, you know where in the melody the thing's supposed to pop out, but it still gets you because it's just that sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, whoever thought Jack in the Boxes were great toys? They're fucking horrible.
A sociopath did.
Yeah. They're like, I want to scare children every goddamn day of my life.
I want to induce bowel movements in small children. That's the best way to do that.
That's
how about a clown that leaps out at them?
And who were the parents that are like, sold? Sounds great. Let me just put away these lead soldiers.
How can I induce a heart attack in a child?
Right.
Gotta toughen them up.
By scaring them to death.
Exactly.
All right. What is your number three?
Okay. So my number three is Getting Lost.
Oh.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like, as a kid, I was kind of a little bit of an urban explorer, but that was in the context of, like, me being in control of the situation. When I'm talking about getting lost, I'm talking about, like, wasn't something that I was at all prepared for. Like, if I was out exploring and I got lost, I could handle that. But it's just the idea of, like, absentmindedly being, like, abandoned or getting separated and completely losing track. That's what would get to me.
Did that ever happen to you?
No, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
but no, like, it never really happened to me. Like, I'm terrible with, like, street names, but I have a great sense of direction with landmarks. And I recall at one point my mom took my little brother and I to Hollywood to, like, look around and everything like that. It was shitty. Like, it was great. But then she, like... She got lost, and she's like, well, how do we get out of here? And I didn't know any street names or anything, but I was able to kind of, like, guide her back out onto the freeway just through, like, landmarks. And I was, like, 8 years old.
That's really good.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where it's like, you can't ask me where a street name is, but, like, I can, like, get through anywhere with landmarks. So I have a good sense of direction, so that's probably why I never got, like, lost.
I bet you're really good at, like, those video games where you have to, like, travel around worlds and shit.
Yeah, a lot of those open world games. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2 right now, so there's a lot of that.
That's a fun game to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play games, but sometimes I watch other people play games.
Not a lot of time for gaming these days, which is interesting because we're all trapped at home right now.
Right. All the things we said we would do. we're not doing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of naps. That's what seems to be on my list. Did you ever get lost as a kid?
I don't remember being lost. I do remember at one point going up to somebody who I thought was my dad because they looked like a dad from like waist down. You know?
Oh my God.
And I remember grabbing onto him because of something and
him
looking down and him not being my dad and me going, whoa, who are you? Mm-hmm. And I was probably about like 5 or 6 at the time.
You know, I guess the best manifestation of that fear that I can think of is Home Alone 2 when Kevin's like wandering around New York at night.
Oh.
Yeah. And just like how weird and distorted everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah, where like people are looking at him and like it's clear that they're just saying hello to the kid, but because they're older and because of the way the camera distorts them, they're all like creepy looking. Like that's kind of what I envision with that kind of fear when I was a kid.
Yeah, but I feel like that always, which is why I'm enjoying staying home.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, well, we are going to go to a quick commercial break from our sponsor of the past, and we will get back right into it.
Back on the beam with the Golden Gate.
Children, stop still. Listen to me. Get your FM radio built by GE. When you're far away and the storms are mean, get your low and your high notes and all notes between. With the General Electric frequency modulation radio. When you get them all clean, get your favorite station. Get it well. Get your favorite show just as clear as a bell. When your neighbor comes seeking your secrets to know, say it's a General Electric frequency modulation. Static eliminating high fidelity radio.
And we are back. Thank you so much, sponsor of the past. We will definitely do what you said or buy what you had.
We continue to endorse this product.
Yes, it's great and definitely still being sold today.
I own 2 of them.
All right, so for my number 3, as an adult, I find this really stupid now, and I would probably never do this to a child, but I used to get freaked out by the I Got Your Nose game.
Oh, I totally get that, yeah.
Well, and here's the deal, why? Because it doesn't look like a nose. Because it has the nail.
Mm-hmm.
And that would confuse the fuck out of me.
What the hell's the matter with my nose?
Right. I would be like, what? Wait, what is that? I never understood, like, the concept. And I never understood, like, I don't know, like, that, you know, like, with the finger thing. Like, that sounds bad. but with, like, you know, the finger thing moving when you move the hand and the finger and... No, my finger's just is not attached to my hand.
Oh, are you talking about the thumb thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like, I kind of got that. I was like, oh, that's a trick somehow. But I got your nose thing. And I had uncles and a grandpa who did it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the funniest thing. And I just did not understand it. And again, it was like... For one, you're taking a piece of my flesh.
Yeah, that's crossing a boundary right there. Yeah, that's not something that you do to someone you supposedly love, is you take a piece of their body away from them.
And then you laugh about it.
Exactly, and then taunt them with it.
Right. And what does my face look like without mm-hmm. my nose? Like, really? And again, like I said, it's just, it's like deformed because it has that nail. So I never... quite understood that. It always made me very uneasy when people would do that. Mm-hmm. I remember like trying to shy my face away, and honestly now I don't like people touching my nose.
Well, I don't think anybody likes someone touching their nose at all, so you're not alone there, but well, like it,
you know,
weighs
like
a
Eskimo kisses and stuff like that. No, fuck that. Do not touch my nose.
The only time my nose ever gets touched is, you know, like when my wife like tries to get like a blackhead out of it or something like that, and then that's like just feeling pain.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, even then, I still don't like it.
Sometimes spouse would try to pinch it or bite it if I was really annoying them, because they know how much it irritates me.
So their immediate response to your being annoying is to, like, cannibalize you.
Yes. Mary, we're still married, hey.
I love you so much, I want you to be a part of me.
Inside me.
Yep.
Nourishing me.
There you go.
And they laugh about it.
Well, they firework. Laugh
about it with my flesh in their mouth. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So that is I never liked it. Never liked it. It was not cool. And I will never do that to any child that I come across. Even if I hate them. I won't do it. Did you ever have that happen to you?
Well, I mean, I had relatives who, like, did that, but it never got to me. The touching that, like, I don't like, the supposed, like, friendly touching that I don't like is tickling.
Oh, like, God,
that,
yes.
That sets me off. Yeah. Sorry, my wife just tried to tickle me just now. And talk about, like, violating boundaries and trust. But yeah, like the tickling thing. So I actually developed a kind of fun defense mechanism with that.
Just pee all over the place?
No, I scream I'm going to poop when they tickle me. I remember one time my grandfather was trying to tickle me and I was not having it. So I screamed, I'm going to poop. And he just, the way he stopped, I will always remember, because he just, like, wrenched his arms back towards his chest like a Tyrannosaurus Rex and stepped back. You know, and that's all you got to do is if someone's tickling you, you just scream, I got to poop, and, you know.
See, that doesn't always work, though. I had a grandpa that he just would not let up. He was a dick.
When you said it doesn't always work and I had a grandpa, I'm like, oh, God, was he a coprophiliac?
he didn't stop. He wouldn't stop no matter what. You could be like, I'm having a brain aneurysm. He's like, oh, we're still going to go for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's dead, though, so whatever. I won that game.
He's being tickled in hell.
Yeah. I always hated that. And even now, I'm really ticklish, and spouse will tickle me, but only when I'm being super, super, super obnoxiously irritating.
My wife has learned not to tickle me because I tickle back hard.
See, it doesn't work with spouse. I try so hard. It doesn't work. They have, like, that mind thing, like that Jedi mind thing where it's just like, it doesn't work. It's a mind thing. I hate it. But they only do it when I'm really pushing the boundaries. And I know. And they'll do a countdown. They'll be like 3, 2. And I'm like, okay. All right. I'm done. All right. So what is your number two?
So my number two is dogs, and that's because as a kid I had some bad experiences with dogs.
No.
Yeah, like I love dogs today, but like as a kid, dogs freaked me out because I had those bad experiences.
No.
I had a Rottweiler wander into my yard as a kid and was staring me down, and my dad had to chase it away with a stick. And you know, like when you're like 7 years old and there's a Rottweiler like staring you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's very freaky. So that was just one of those kind of like experiences with dogs. And I tended to live in more rural neighborhoods, and you know, here in like the Inland Empire of California, it's a lot of meth addicts, and they kind of let their dogs out and about. They don't necessarily take care of their dogs. The dogs are a little rambunctious, and they may be bitey. And you know, I've been bitten by a few of them, you know, as a kid. So as a kid, like, dogs really freaked me out for a while.
I can understand that. That's a bummer, though. I super grew up with dogs, so, I mean, like, it was really a pack thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I've had dogs since, and I love dogs to death. Like, today, like, I, you know, and maybe it's, you know, as a kid, you don't recognize if a dog is dangerous. Now, as an adult, I might recognize a dog is dangerous, but, like, I was bitten too many times as a kid. It just really freaked me out.
Yeah, no, and I can imagine too, especially like a Rottweiler, because they're very muscular, you know, and they're very strong. You know, they're very strong dogs. So I could see that.
Well, and it's just like, and just the fact that like they came into my yard.
Your yard, yeah. And I think that might be part of it too, is that we did have dogs, so we never had dogs come into our yard or anything like that. I always felt kind of protected because of my dogs, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I guess there was a couple times when, like, Sparky wouldn't let people take their kids out of the yard. Like, the parents wouldn't take, you know, she wouldn't let them take their kids out of the yard. Mm-hmm. She would just, like, bark and growl at them and stuff like that. And they would have to say, you know, can you, you know, tell my kid to come home? Because it wasn't that she was territorial. It was just that that's what she did. She protected.
Yeah.
She let me put makeup on her too.
Aw.
Yeah. I had beauty shows. She was a good damn dog.
It sounds like a very patient dog. Jesus.
She was. R.I.P.
Oh, no.
She was a very patient dog and sassy as fuck.
Aw.
Yeah, she was good. But I think too, you know, because I grew up with big dogs too, I was comfortable around that. Whereas I could see some people too being very, you know, because you don't know sometimes what an animal is going to do, you know, if you don't know what the signs are. So I could understand that definitely. Okay, so my number two comes with a story, because again, I had to really narrow things down because I had a lot of fears. And this was one of them that I talked with spouse about, and they're like, oh, that is real weird. You might want to talk about that, which was a ghost countdown.
Hmm.
And it was like, because I had very specific everything when I was a kid. Like, I had very specific, like, things I would play. Like, I would play, I remember that one of the things that I would pretend was that I was a panda.
Okay, checks out.
Panda that was girl. Adopted by Radar from MASH.
It all checks out. Nothing weird
and
about
I
that.
And I rode a motorcycle. And that was one thing that I would play a lot. So I had very specific things. So this was one of my specific things that would scare me very much so, is that I would imagine that, like, if I had to go upstairs and, say, get dressed for bed or something like that, there would be ghosts inside the room, and they were going to come and get me at a certain point. And I had to, and they were counting down, and I had to go up there, do whatever I had to do, and leave before the countdown was over, or they would come and get me. And I would do this a lot. Specifically at my older house that before my parents moved into the new house. But I remember that specifically, where it would be like, I have to go do this very quickly, or they're going to come out of wherever they're at and drag me away, and I will be spirited away. In my head, I could hear the countdown. And again, it's one of those things where as an adult, I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But I just remember being very scared, because there were a couple times that it was getting down to the wire and my heart was just pounding. You know, I would race out of the room, and we had stairs at the time, and I would, like, one time I kind of fell down the stairs trying to get away. My mom's like, what's going on? And I'm like, nothing.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, so ghost countdown is number two, because I remember those few times where it was getting very close and just, like, shaking, just being so scared. At the time, I kind of also knew that I couldn't tell my mom, because it kind of didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it only made sense to me, but it being feeling very real. So I don't imagine you ever had a ghost countdown.
No, like, the closest thing I think I had was, you know, sometimes you just get, like, that bad vibe in a place.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you pick up your pace just a little bit more, you know. So, like, late at night, it's dark in the house, I go into a room to, like, grab something real quick, you know, I shut off the light, and it's just, like, the darkness behind me, it just gives you kind of, like, that bad vibe, you know what I mean? And you just kind of, you hurry up just a little bit more to get to a space with a little more light.
Yeah, or where you feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, if I could just get to this one place, I'll be fine.
Yeah, like, you know there's nothing there in that darkened room behind you, but the fact of the matter is it is a darkened room and your back is towards it. And we are not, we're species that we evolved fearing the night. So
there's probably nothing there.
Yeah. That you'll see, and now I'm gonna think about that tonight. I'm gonna think about that tonight.
I'm just saying, like, no, as a child, it's like,
yeah,
but there could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the difference. Like, mm-hmm. There's probably not ghosts that are counting down to come and drag me away into hell or wherever, but there's a possibility that there is. All right, so we are at the very end, the number one to your kind of mishmash, but what is your number one?
So my number one is Stranger Danger.
Oh,
because I, you know, in elementary school, you had all those assemblies about, like, you know, people are going to kidnap you and throw you in the trunk and rape you. Just those kind of assemblies where it's like, you know, beware of strangers. And they give you all these, like, terrible stories. They'd have, like, a cop show up and then talk about, like, absolutely horrible stuff. And you learn not to talk to strangers. So, yeah, that's one of those things. Like, growing up, I was always very wary of that. And I remember I have a story in that regard, because my brother and I, we were kind of like latchkey kids. So after school, we would get off the bus and we would go to the convalescent center where my dad worked. And we would just kind of sit in, like, the library of the convalescent center, and, like, I'd do my homework. My brother would not do his homework. But but one time there was this, like, I don't know, this, like, church group that came in, and they were doing a thing in the library, you know, and I'm minding my own business, and I'm, like, doing my homework, and this weirdo, like, picks up my brother and puts my brother on her lap.
Oh.
And it's just, it was, like, this really, really weird thing, you know, and I told, you know, I tried to get my brother out of there. I'm like, hey, you know, can you not do that? And then, like, eventually my dad came in, he kind of took us into another room, and he laid into my little brother about that. No, I was okay because I didn't jump into the lap of the stranger. I was worried about that. But my brother was overly trusting, I guess. But yeah. No, it was just weird because it was this weird, like, church group, and I have a very vivid memory of this, you know, overweight woman who looked like Eileen Wuornos with, like, large Coke bottle glasses.
Mm.
And, like, she picks up my brother and they're, like, doing, like, their church music, and he's on her lap and she's, like, clapping, and my brother was, like, 6 or 7 at the time.
Okay.
And, like, here I am, like, I'm probably about, like, 10 or so, and I can't, like, do anything about the adult because I'm 10. What am I gonna do?
Right.
So I'm just there, like, trying to do my homework and feeling, like, super uncomfortable with this situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one of those, like, so thankfully, like, my brother and I didn't get killed, but it was one of those things where it's like, you know, just like, oh god, this really could happen. Look at how it's happening out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Stranger Danger was one of those things that as a kid, like, I got really nervous about, until I, you know, I went through puberty and I became a little, like, hard ass.
You're like, strangers come at me, bro.
Yeah, I'll fight you.
Yeah, they laid into it thick.
Mm-hmm. Especially during the 90s.
Yeah, especially.
The early to mid-90s.
Yeah, they would lay into it real, real thick. For better or for worse. Because I remember even, like, Robert Stack had his own Stranger Danger thing.
And then America's Most Wanted, because he had the whole thing with
Adam Walsh.
Yeah, Adam Walsh. Yeah. And, you know, it was that, or it was yo-yo assemblies. that was what I remember from elementary school. It was either people are going to eat and kill you and rape you, or people are going to bring yo-yos and do yo-yo tricks and try to sell you yo-yos.
Yeah. That's basically the 90s.
Yeah. Then occasionally you'd have, like, awkward, like, rapping for a dare presentation.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
Those were the worst.
Yeah.
I liked it when they brought the police dogs, though.
Yeah, the canine cops are pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And then I grew up and I'm like, I don't want to do all that paperwork.
Yeah, and then you'd also have to become a dog. And I don't imagine that would be easy.
I just get a dog. It wouldn't become one.
Oh, okay. I'm here. I am being a literal person. I'm sorry.
No, I'd be the cop, but then I grew up and I was like, no, thanks. I'll just get a dog.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really wants to like be a cop right now unless they have deep-seated issues.
Oof. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
Yeah.
I do remember the stranger danger. There was a very local case to where my mom would not let me go to slumber parties for a really long time. And I remember when I had a slumber party, eventually she was kind of in a way freaking out about it. But I remember this girl's name from that time, Deanna Seifert. And she was killed at a slumber party.
Ew.
Yeah. And I just remember that drilled into my head. It's like, you're not safe.
Oh, man.
Even with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it's like, oh my God, I could be killed in the middle of anything, anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, us 90s kids. Yeah, us 90s kids, like we had it drilled into us pretty hard that like death was around every single corner.
Yeah, you are not immortal. You're gonna rot. Like this is how you will decompose. Here you go. Here's the
whole thing with like the razor blades and the apples and you know, Halloween. It was just like everything was, you know, so you can't go see Santa Claus. Because, you know, like, Santa Claus is probably, like, the mall Santa is probably a child molester.
Yeah. And, again, marijuana. I was like, oh, you can't have marijuana because then you're going to go straight to heroin.
Mm-hmm. Just one toke and you got...
And you're dead.
Yeah, you're addicted.
You're dead to us. Dare. So, my number one is... kind of funny because again it's one of those things that people won't understand now, the younglings, but at the end of a VHS tape sometimes they had a little something extra, be it previews for a movie or maybe something extra or something like that. I think because I had a huge fear at the end of VHS tapes, I remember as soon as the credits would go, I would jump up out of my seat to stop the tape as fast as possible.
Mm.
And I think probably because at some point I got bit by that. Like my grandpa used to like, RIP Gramps, he used to like record a bunch of shows, like movies, like HBO was a big cool thing. And he would record them onto, like, VHS tapes. So he would record, like, I don't know, like, All Dogs Go to Heaven or whatever. And then right after that, he would, like, record, like, a shoot 'em up movie or something like that.
Or, like, Real Sex or something like that.
Yeah, something that's, like, not supposed to be for kids.
Yeah.
And I remember one time that did happen when I was watching something. And it went to somebody getting shot in the head and freaking out about it. And my grandma, like, losing her damn mind and screaming at him. And he was just like, what? But like I said, too, like, even if it was, like, a movie that you get from Blockbuster or something, sometimes they would have something at the end of it, especially if it was, like, a horror movie. Sometimes they would have a little gotcha moment.
Now, see, when you were talking about this, my immediate thought was, like, the FBI warning at the end.
Oh, okay.
Like, and I was like, oh, what, was it the FBI warning?
Yeah, I'm super afraid of the FBI.
As you should be.
As a child, I was like, no.
Yeah, I've seen their file on you. I've seen their file on you. It's very interesting.
No, it's, like, and then there would be, like, sometimes this little static that would go on, and I don't know, again, it was just, you didn't know what was going to happen. I think that was the part, is you didn't know what was going to be there at the end of it, because each one was different, and it wouldn't just stop, and you stop it and rewound it, it would play a little bit more, and you, like I said, you never knew if there was going to be a little gotcha moment, if there was going to be somebody getting shot in the head after My Little Pony or whatever it was. Or, you know, just something creepy as fuck, you know. Sometimes it would be, I don't know, like I can't even remember half of the shit, but I just remember feeling such unease as after the credits go and there's like that crackle and then it was like that dead air and you're like, what's gonna happen now? Did you ever have like a weird VHS
tab? Nah, not really. Like I didn't record much off of the TV. And then, like, any of the VHS tapes we had, nothing really out of the ordinary. Like, I grew up watching horror movies, like, right away. Like, my favorite movie when I was, like, 5 years old, apparently, was Child's Play. Because my parents actually had gotten me a Cabbage Patch Kids doll. And as a five-year-old, I was trying to do the soul transference ritual. They tell me the story all the time, but I'm in the middle of the living room with the Cabbage Patch Kid in the middle of the floor doing the, you know, ah, due dembula, give me the power, I beg of you. Yeah,
are interesting people.
Yeah, they shoulder a lot of blame for who I am. but no, like, I grew up, like, violence was something that I was kind of, like, exposed to very early on, didn't bother me, but like sex and nudity was where like the line was drawn, you know, because that's America, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Violence is cool, sex and nudity not so much, but
we still think it's cool, but you can't watch it.
Yeah. But you know, it was one of those things where it's like I never really had like a bad VHS experience. Like I never even stumbled onto like an illicit recording of anything because we're too poor for like HBO or anything like that. So,
Yeah.
So wait for me to ruin the episode at the
end. Well, you ruined it with the Neil Diamond stuff. So
yeah. Yeah.
It was all downhill from there.
Doomed from the start.
All right. Well, do you have anything that you would like to plug? I know that you just put up a new chapter of your dead life.
Yeah, so I've been, I'm coming back to working on The Dead Life, which is the original zombie serial. It's pretty much like exactly what I want out of a zombie project, so that keeps me happy. Otherwise, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at HPKOMIC, HP Comic, and I post all of my comics and stuff there. I write a lot on Haunted MTL, but I also, I do webcomics as well, and I'm kind of funny, so there you go.
And you're also doing a podcast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you for keeping me honest here. So, yes, I have my podcast, Haunted Hellos, where I play a ghost researcher and I interview the dead. And I am recording a new episode of it tomorrow.
Nice.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. And they're kind of dicks, aren't they?
Yeah, the ghost, it's definitely like an improvised comedy thing. But, you know, I always tell the ghost, the guest, to, like, make fun of me. Because I can take it. I'm strong. Come at me, bros.
Except for the ones that are in the closet. Or under the bed.
Exactly. Yeah, no closet ghosts.
I am also a writer at Haunted MTL. I haven't really written anything a lot lately. I will in the future. I've taken over two of your weekly whales.
Yeah, I'm trying to get us to like do weekly whale once a week.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Not particularly. Like I'm super happy that you invited me on. I've been wanting to like pop up in some of the other podcasts. Next time I'm on, we should swap some ghost stories, like real ghost experiences. I have a couple. I think that'd be fun.
Okay, we can do that. I will warn you, I am a skeptic.
Well, you know, it's okay. Everybody's entitled to be wrong once in a while.
Yeah, like you with us.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining me today. I hope everybody will come and listen to the next article, which will also have Neil Diamond. No, I'm just kidding, it won't. But we can all dream, right?
Thank you so much.